Sometimes I wonder if I've forgotten more in my life than I will ever remember. And these memories come out of the blue. A sound, a smell. I was 17. When it happened, Mom and Dad had a place up north, just a small little ramshackle, I guess you'd call it a house, that we'd go up to in the fall for a few weekends, just to see the changing of the leaves and to spend some time together. As I got older, Mom and Dad had me when they were older, so I think they felt the weight of their age and were desperate to try to spend as much time as they could with me. So, yeah, sometimes you wonder if the people around you can sense the ending before you can. It wasn't, you know, when I was 17, Dad had 4 years left before we'd lose him, and Mom, we had 10. So I look back, and those times up at the house carry more weight now. But back when I was 17, and it was such a strange time, I had been dating my first girlfriend, someone I'd met in school, and had known my whole life, and never knowing we'd marry one day. It wouldn't work out, but you know, it's strange how love works. And at 17, I'd finally grown into my body. I'd finally, the scarecrow had filled out, and I used to run track, and I felt like I could outrun anything, I could outjump anything. I wouldn't say I felt fearless so much as I just felt that there was more life for me to live and less to fear. We had gone up to the house for the weekend, and Mom and Dad were fighting. Towards Dad's end, they had started to fight more and more about money and about other things that I only now can start to wonder if it was because, as his health started to decline, Mom wanted him to see a doctor, and he just wouldn't. Dad was not a big fan of doctors. His father had been misdiagnosed and had died when he was young, so Dad had never trusted doctors much. So they had been fighting, and I was tired of it at that point already. You know, it seemed like for the last year they had been fighting more than anything else. So I took our dog Duke, a shaggy old thing that we had found up north 4 years earlier, and had taken home with us. More mutt than anything else, but the, you know, terribly sweet and just wanted to be by my side all the time. So I took him and we went for a walk. I'd never much explored the area around us. It was the little house. And like I say, it was a little house. It was two rooms. I would sleep on a futon in the living room. There was an outhouse out behind the place. And Dad had had the place re-roofed. But there was running water nearby. in some of the houses, we found out later, but not in ours. So we had to go and use an outhouse for the bathroom, and we would bring giant jugs of water with us for washing and anything else. It had a sink, it had a bedroom, had a closet. The carpet was worn. It smelled musty. Any food we brought, we had to bring in coolers and ice it. But it was a place to get away. There was some inexpensive furniture. Dad and Mom had bought some camping furniture. It was a place for us to go. We'd go and have fires and cookouts and spend some time, and it was nice. But I had never explored much. You know, it's just, you get busy. Sometimes in the fall, it's a wet season, and you don't really want to go wandering too far, because while the childhood fears of quicksand were in my past, proven to be nothing but phantoms, there was the fear of bears, of swamps, of all kinds of things, that it's better to be smart and wary than to rush right in. A couple times I'd gone up with my girlfriend, and she was not an outdoors person, so I never really saw the area. And we'd had the place since I was 12. So it had been dry for several days, so it wasn't bad out, and the leaves were in the middle of changing. So I put Duke on his leash, and we headed out and let Mom and Dad fight away. There's not many paths back there, because the only people back in those areas are as people that live there and the hunters. I made sure to have an orange hat on just in case. It was in a strange time between the hunting time. You know, you can always hunt this and always hunt that, but the troll hunters, the people from the main part of the state, the lower peninsula, hadn't come up yet. So I should have been, I should be safe. But there weren't a lot of paths. Any paths from hunters would have grown over. So I kind of, in the wooded area behind us, I kind of made my way the best I could. It wasn't quite a path. It was just an area that was a little less overrun. So I headed back, and it was a cool day, but you get walking out there, and I have a orange winter hat on, and I have my flannel shirt on and some boots and old tattered jeans and a jacket on. So you start to get warm. I took my jacket off. Duke was happy as a clam. I let him off his leash, and he would go running off and then come running back. And that was the thing about Duke, is that once he was with us, he was with us. We knew that. He wasn't going to go anywhere. And I never let him off the leash anywhere but up there, which, again, you'd think it's crazy, but he was from there. He knew the area, and he knew enough to come back because we were his home. I look back, and it's the arrogance of youth. Because a million things could have happened to him, but they didn't. So Duke was bounding off, chasing squirrels, and I was making my way forward, trying to get branches out of my path so they wouldn't scratch across my face. And I was getting deeper and deeper, and I didn't recognize anywhere I was. I had no idea. I hadn't really been back, as I said, that far. So it was all new to me. And as I'm going, I'm kind of humming to myself. I'd forgotten my earphones and my phone back at the house, which was silly. But we didn't get much reception up there, anyways, so it didn't really do me much use. So I was kind of just humming to myself as I went back there, and then the trees got thicker and thicker, and what sky I could see over through the gray, got more and more closed in around me, and then I started to get a little nervous. I didn't think that there were bears out there. There hadn't been a bear sighting in near our place, from what they said at the store nearby, for months, which was strange. But so I felt again a little too bold. So I was out there walking, and Duke had come back and was trotting by my side, and all of a sudden he stopped. And his ears perked up. And I stopped, and I started looking around, and I heard a kind of a crack, like a tree, and then some rustling, and then another crack. And my head was on a swivel. I was looking everywhere at once. Sweat broke out across my brow and on my hands. I could feel sweat running down from my armpits down along my side, and I reached into my front pocket and I pulled out a buck knife I carried, something Dad had given me once, I'd turned 16. He said, if you're gonna be up north, you should have something just in case. And it wasn't, it was maybe 5 inches with a 3-inch blade. It wasn't anything special, but it was something just in case. So I pulled it out and pulled the blade out, and I held my breath and I listened, and it sounded like something was out there, something moving, something big. And I kept looking and I couldn't see anything, and all of a sudden Duke lit up out in front of me, running like full bore, and he wasn't barking, he was running, and I could hear him chasing whatever was out there. Well, I had a moment, and I was like, do I run home, or do I go get my dog? And, I've found, the older I've gotten, the less I feel the need to hide my, my less graceful moments, because I wanted to run, and I actually did run 3 steps. 4 steps, 5 steps, 10 steps, until I stopped because I heard a yelp. And then I stopped and I turned and I ran, because he was my dog. Duke was mine, and I wasn't going to leave him. So I ran as hard as I could with the knife out, branches cutting across my face and hands, and I ran as hard as I could until I came to a clearing. And I was shocked, because there was this, right in the middle of the woods, it was a clearing. And there's probably 100 yards clear in this thick woods. And then beyond it, there was a path, probably about 10 feet wide, that went back and back and back and deeper into the woods, as if something large had come through. It was strange, because I didn't know what to make of it all, but I didn't have a chance to really think much on it, because I couldn't see Duke. All I could see was a piece of earth moving equipment, a backhoe, to one side of a large hole in the hole. I called out, "Duke! Duke!" And I heard it. I heard a bark, and then a whimper and a bark. So I ran to the hole and looked down, and it was 5 feet deep and about 15, 20 feet wide. And he was down there, and he looked okay. I think he was just scared because he had been running and went into the hole. So he went up on his hind legs, and he was scratching at the dirt trying to get up, and I looked around, and I was kind of shocked. I didn't know what had happened, what was happening. I looked around for whatever he'd heard, what we'd heard, and we didn't see anything. I didn't see anything. I mean, I'm not sure, you know, what it was, but something had been out there. So I looked around one last time, and I flipped the blade closed and put it in my back pocket. And I got down on my belly, and I reached down into the hole, and I grabbed Duke's big paws, and I started to haul him up. And he weighed 70 pounds at least. And I was thin, but I was strong. And it was a struggle, but I got him up. And it was funny because he just ran around me in circles and was jump on. He'd run around, jump on me, drop down, run around, jump on me over and over again, and was licking my hand because I think he was just scared to death. And I petted him, and I petted him, and I looked around again. And I turned, and I just happened to glance down in the hole and saw a body down there. And I kind of turned completely to the hole and turned my attention down to it. And it was the rotting corpse of a deer. And beside it was another deer, a doe. And then I kept looking around, and there were animal skeletons. And I turned back to the earth mover, and it was rusty. And, you know, the backhoe, I should say, I guess. And it was rusty. And I Duke was trying to still get on me, and I pushed him down. And I walked over to the backhoe, and I looked at it, and there was a key in the ignition still. And while the seat was worn, it wasn't covered in leaves, it wasn't covered in anything. I looked around, and there were kind of faint markings in the ground as if someone with big boots had been out there. Maybe not recently, but not that long ago. So this was strange. I didn't know if someone was trying to build a house out here, or if they were some kind of sicko and were trying to build a trap for animals. I wasn't sure. So I I turned back to the hole and went back and got too close because the edge started to crumble in. And so I backed up, and I'm looking, and there's all these skeletons and those dead deer. And I can start to smell the scent of death. And it's so strange because I hadn't smelled that before. And as I'm looking, I noticed there's a half-covered log down there. A big thing. Gosh, when you think of sequoias and you see them and how big they are, it was about at least half that size. And there's big trees everywhere, but why would have it gotten down in the middle of a hole that, you know, 5 feet deep? So I got on my haunches, and I'm looking, and I see that this log had been partially uncovered. Almost as if they'd been looking for the log, which was crazy. And then I thought for a second about those shows you see on TV about treasure hunters and buried treasure. Did someone bury treasure out here, and these people were coming to find it or to recover it? What was going on? And I didn't understand, and I didn't know. So Duke was calming himself down finally, and he sat down next to me, and he started whimpering. And I petted him absently, and I'm looking, and I'm just, something strange about that log. And I'm looking, and I'm looking, and I realize that there's a bend to it. Well, logs don't bend. They can have a knot, and it wasn't a knot. It was a bend, as if it was kind of curving a little, but at a strange angle. And I wiped the sweat from my brow and squinted my eyes, and I'm looking, and I look, and there's dirt covering part of the log, and then it comes down, and then there's the curve, and then it's more and more cleared off, and more and more cleared off, and then it gets down to the end of it, and it's kind of rounded. And again, it's a little turned, with a little angle. It's strange. I start to realize it's not a log. Well, I don't know how bad. I don't know what it could be then. It doesn't make any sense. So I get up and I go around to the other side of the hole, and the smell is worse over here because it's right where the deer are. And I'm looking, and there's so many skeletons of little animals down there. Such a degree that there's just bones. Bones and bones and bones. And then I see a couple larger bones that don't look like they're animal. And they're buried just underneath that log. I got a shiver and I looked around again. And I pulled the jackknife, buck knife, out of my pocket. And I flipped it open. And I squint my eyes again, and I'm looking. And there's something about this log. It just doesn't make sense. And I'm looking, and I'm looking, and I'm seeing the other side, and there's that side has been cleaned off a little, and you can see indentations along where the bends, and it's the only thing I could think of would be bend, that this log is bending. So I'm looking, and I get a weird feeling, and I take my hand, and I raise it, and I flip it over, and I'm looking at it, and then I look down again into the hole, and I look at the back of my hand, and I look in the hole, and I stood up and took four big steps away. Because that wasn't a log in the ground. It was a finger. And by the size of it, I don't know. I can't imagine the size of something connected to that. Because the log itself would have been, it was at least as tall as I was. It would have been, it wouldn't be exact, but with those bends, if you straighten it out. And I was 6'2". So I don't know how big. And I don't know how much more was to be seen. I took a deep breath. I looked around once more. And Duke is really whining now. And I understand why. And I have to see. I go forward. And I'm looking down there, and I'm kind of sidestepping to try to get a better look. And it looks like there's kind of a nail, maybe, on the finger. But it's thick and cracked. And I have the horrible feeling, a horrible sensation of what if there's fingerprints. And then worse was what if there's not. Because I don't know what this could be. And I look around. And off in the woods you can hear something moving and something snaps. Something moves. And Duke is anxious and kind of running and prancing in circles, and he wants to go. And we have to get out of there because I don't know what this is. And I turn and we start to walk, and I hear something down in the hole. God help me, I know better, but I turned and I took a step back and I looked in. And the finger had moved, because it was more uncovered now, and it was even more bent. And there were more bones where the finger had been. And I ran. I ran as hard as I could, as fast as I could. Duke was just on me, right on my heels. And when we got back to the house, Mom and Dad took one look at me, and where the fight ended, my face was scratched and cut. My hands were bloody. And I had the knife in my hand, and they didn't. They want to know what was going on. Are you okay? Are you okay? What happened? And I was shaking. I had to have been at least a mile away from the place, and I was back. I don't know if I've ever run faster in my life. I don't know if there was someone on the track that could have beaten me. Because I had to run as fast as I could. And as fast as I went, the sound of something back there followed us, snapping branches and moving. And it was big. I don't know how big, but it was back there, and it was big. But I made it back, and they're asking, are you okay? What happened? What happened? And I blurted out the first thing that came to my mind, and it was bear. So we closed up the house and put everything back in the car, and we went home. Dad wasn't going to mess with the bear out there. He wasn't going to mess with anything. And we went back a few times after that, but it was different, and I never felt comfortable or safe. And as much as I wanted desperately to know what was going on back there with what we'd seen, me and Duke, I never went. And it's strange, after all these years, Mom and Dad gone for so long, to think about it and to think about what I saw and what it could have been, because I still don't know, and I suppose I never will know. But I think about it a lot still.